My next guest is a master sommelier, a television personality, and a restaurateur. Alpana Singh is the woman behind Chicago area restaurants like The Boarding House, Seven Lions here on Michigan Avenue, and Evanston's Terra and Vine. She's the honorary chair for the upcoming Opening Doors Benefit. It's a fundraiser to help Deborah's Place, which is Chicago's oldest and largest provider of supportive housing for women experiencing homelessness. The event is on May 11th. Alpana, good to see you. Thanks for coming
there.
In.
I see you twice in one week.
I know. We saw each other in the James Beard. I was telling everyone I couldn't decide if I was gallivanting or traipsing.
Both.
I was doing both.
Gala-traipsing.
Gala-traipsing. You talk about this. I mean, this is something, you know, obviously we know you as a restaurateur and as somebody who hosted Check Please for years. What gets you involved in doing work for places like Deborah's?
I think it's place. Gratitude and gratefulness. I think you get to a point in your life where you look around and, you know, life has been good to you. And, you know, in order to keep it, you have to give it away. And so, you know, I was looking for a charity to support, and it started with this dinner that we did at the Boarding House last year, where we took two other female chefs, actually Zoe Shore, who's about to open her own restaurant, Split Rail, and Diana Davila, who just opened Mi Tocaya in Logan Square. And we wanted to support them and their endeavors, their entrepreneurial endeavors. And so we did a dinner in collaboration with Tanya Baker at the Boarding House and Julia Fitting, who was our pastry chef at the time. But I thought, wow, okay, so we need a charitable component here. And so I sent an email to a friend of mine, Ann Perry, who's at the U of C, and I said, I need a female-driven charity. And she said, actually, the woman who I work with is on the board at Deborah's Place. And I said, awesome. So I looked it up, and I was like, okay, this is it. And so I met with the folks from Deborah's Place, and they were so wonderful and amazing. And I was immediately taken back because they've been around for 32 years, and I'd never heard of them before. And the distinction with Deborah's Place is it was founded to serve sort of this gap, because at the time, if you were a woman facing homelessness and you were unaccompanied, meaning you weren't, you know, you didn't have children, you had children, but you couldn't be with them, there was no place for you to go. You had to go to a co-ed shelter, which was oftentimes a lot more dangerous for them.
Right.
And so Deborah's Place filled that niche. And so it's not emergency housing. It's not a shelter. What they do is they help provide provide permanent housing for women. So they have three locations. They serve 320 women a year through their three residential locations, 65 units of community-based housing, and they have support services, mental health, you know, general health services, job placement. The day that I was there, this woman was helping her fill out a job application to get a job. And, you know, it's just every aspect is sort of, you know, supported and they're helped along there. But this woman in particular showed me her apartment, and I'll never forget it. And this is a story I always share. It was this, you know, apartment half the size of my bedroom. We walk in and she goes, "This is my home." And the look on her face, and she was just so proud. And she said, "This is mine. This is where I live." And I was like, wow, how do I get this for everybody who needs a home? How do I make this happen? Like, what do you need? And, you know, I've taken people, I took some young girls, we volunteered one day, we served dinner for them. And anybody who comes in contact with Deborah's Place, immediately, they're just like, how do I help? What can I do? This is amazing. And so it's all about empowering women, which is a huge platform of mine. But it's from just even the basic level of giving somebody a home.
Yeah, right.
You know,
it's like basic. Basic stuff that we some people take for granted. Yeah.
No, and I think we tend to think of like, how do I give back? And we're just like, okay, I don't have the time. I don't have, you know, I've got kids and I got a job and I've got all this stuff to do. How do I give back? And, you know, if you go to the website for Deborah's Place, it's deborahsplace.org, and you look at their wish list, and it's the basic items that the women need, and it's so painfully simple. Like, it just breaks your heart. Like, things that you walk into your bathroom right now and you look around and it's toothpaste, you know, it's mouthwash, it's a toothbrush, it's body wash. You know, you go into your closet and you find laundry detergent, things that you just sort of like go to the CVS and like, okay, yeah, no big deal. You know, for these women, it's everything, because they get support through their SNAP benefits, but they can't, their income is limited if they do have a job, or, you know, what sort of, you know, assistance they get. But, you know, they need help, like, with other things, like buying toilet paper, you know, and so.
Where, for you, you know, where do you think it comes from? Where do you think, I mean, you said at the beginning, you know, life has been good to you. But, I mean, it's more ingrained than that. I mean, this idea that you want to give back, I mean, what, does it come from your upbringing? Does it come from, is there a certain point in your life where it's a light bulb went off and said, you know what, I'm looking for more fulfillment.
You know what it is? It's sort of like, I've talked to other women about this. It's sort of like this imposter syndrome. They're going to figure out that I really don't know what I'm doing and it's going to all be taken away from me. You know, I'm going to wake up one day and it's sort of like, what was that movie with Nicolas Cage, Family Man? Like, yeah, I'm going right. to wake up and I'm like, yeah, my Gold Coast apartment's gone. Like, what were you thinking? You know, it's just, everything is just so fleeting. It really is. And the things that matter, you know, and it's sort of like, I don't know, maybe it's just turning 40. It's sort of like, what will you be remembered for? And it's not going to be the accolades. It's not going to be the wine. It's not going to be the restaurants. It's, were you a good person? Did you help somebody? You know, were you loved and did you love? And so it's just about sort of like those tangible things that really do matter at the end of the day. And I think our country as a whole is, you know, there's this sort of like feeling of, I need to do something.
Yeah.
You know, like people just feel sort of helpless. And I think when you feel helpless, the best thing to do is become helpful.
Well, I mean, we just had the Janae Myers, who's the CEO at Chicago Cares, on. And we kind of had this hypothetical question that was like, what if it was not unlike the military draft? What if there was a volunteer draft? What if volunteering was mandatory? I know there's a joke in there. But the concept being, you know, everybody had to do something to give back to where they live, their community, clean up a park or anything of that nature. And what would the world look like? And I know it's not going to happen, but it had more to do with us sort of having this introspective conversation about what would that do for the people who don't feel inspired to do things, but also this concept of, you know, what would that do for all of us to feel like we're a part of something and we are more fulfilled as human beings?
Well, because giving feels good. I mean, it really does feel good. I mean, when you look in somebody's eyes that you've helped and, you know, whether it's big or small, whatever it is, you know, you get so much more in return. And every time I do something for Deborah's Place or do something for a charity, there's a little bounce in my step. You know, like I did something good. Yay.
Do you think that might come from also being in the industry, being in the culinary industry? I mean, there's so much that goes around sort of like food and serving and the table and this idea of almost, you know, being able to give sustenance to someone.
Yeah. Well, you know, I find that, you know, it's also sometimes it can run away quite easily when you lose perspective about what's important. You know, it can just, you know, the material things can become like, you know, you just lose sight of what matters. And when you ground yourself with charitable work, it gives you perspective. When you see in comparison to somebody else, you know, how truly blessed you are, it makes you appreciate all that is around you. And I'm not even talking about like the nice things and the jewelry and the cars and anything like that. But I think it's something just as basic as if you look and you know that somebody loves you and is cares for, like if you don't show up one day, they're going to, you know, like, hey, you know, like, where are you? You know, and for some people, you know, that sense that they just are alone, they feel alone. And it's that soul sucking feeling of there's nobody in this world that cares for me. And I don't think there's a single human being that needs to suffer from that, you know, that sense of loneliness.
I always love having you on because we always come on with this idea that we're going to talk about food and we're going to do whatever. And it delves into something much deeper, and I love it. Alpana Singh in studio, of course, the restaurateur here in Chicago and television personality and sommelier. She's been in Chicago for years now. Restaurants like The Boarding House, Seven Lions, Evanston's, Terra and Vine. She is the honorary chair for the upcoming Opening Doors benefit, a fundraiser for Deborah's Place, Chicago's oldest and largest provider of housing for women experiencing homelessness. The event is on May 11th.
May 11th. So tickets are available for the event. But even if you can't make it, please go to the website and take a look at the wish list items. You know, and like I said, you know, a pair of socks can make somebody's days.
You know, I guess, as you think about, I mean, even the concept, as we talked about this, that idea of aloneness and even the idea of giving back. I mean, you were talking about these, we're really sort of touching on these ideas of what makes us human.
Yeah, we're vulnerable.
I mean, for you as someone who, I mean, I just think about you know, all of the things that you've done in your career, from even the work that you've done as a sommelier, starting up as one that I forget the stat every time, but it's the youngest sommelier in.
I was the youngest woman to pass the exam. Yeah.
To your work, you know, on Check Please, to the restaurateurs, the work that you've done in the restaurants. I mean, you have made an impact.
Thank you.
In Chicago.
But
I mean,
none of that matters if I'm not a good human and I'm not giving back and I'm not fulfilling the purpose of why I'm here. Then none of that matters. You know, I mean, that's just like superficial stuff. You know, I mean, it's nice. Don't get me wrong. But the work that I do to help another human being, that's what matters. You know, if a young woman sees that I pass the exam and that inspires her to take the test and take that leap and to believe in herself, that's what the accolade is there for.
For you, I mean, you as you said at the beginning, I mean, you're looking for charitable opportunities for empowerment for women.
Correct.
Why is that important to you? Why is it important, as you just mentioned right there, to inspire a younger sommelier, a woman, to take the test because of your success at such a young age? What is it about, from a gender standpoint, that attracts you to empowering women?
Because we need to move the needle. We need to have, you know, more women at the table in government. We need to have more women making decisions that affect us. I'm sick and tired of looking at these photographs of men legislating our bodies. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of, you know, an all-male agenda making decisions for us. But it's up to us women to go, you know what? I'm not going to lean in. That's too polite. I'm going to jump in, you know, and I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to go for that raise. I'm going to go for that promotion. I'm going to go for that job. We got to move that 3% number. You know, we just need women to show up and to believe in themselves. And, you know, like I said, it's about like women supporting women, but also just women believing in themselves of like, I belong here. You know, I can do this. I am going to do this, you know? And so we just, you know, we got to change the numbers. We have to change all the statistics. You know, what is that? There are more men named William, Robert, and John sitting on boards than women, you know, all together. You know, it's like Senator.
A terrible stat, by the way.
Senator Warren said it best. If you're not at the table, that means you're on the menu.
Right.
You know, if you don't have a seat at the table, that means you're on the menu.
You know, I think about, you know, all the things that you're advocating for, and it is interesting because once again, I mean, you have had the luxury of, I mean, you are in a field that's pretty male dominated. I think there's chefs and sommeliers, and I mean, mm-hmm. we get into television, things of that nature. Do you feel, when you put it all together, do you feel that you've experienced some of the same things that you're sort of advocating for women to jump in? I mean, the idea of sort of being left behind or being discriminated against about being a woman in some of these areas? Because you've had great relationships with some of the people you've worked with.
Actually, the majority of my mentors are men. You know, I always say the best feminists are men. But really, it's not about, like it's not the gender bias against women. It's the women. It's women believing a certain rhetoric about themselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified enough. I don't deserve a seat at that table. You know, like they look at their resume and they don't go for the job. You know, there was reading a Crane's op-ed piece this morning by Claire Bushley. I think that's right, Bushley. But she said that she called this woman because she's like, women are not quoted in articles. So she called her as a financial analyst and the woman did not return her phone call. She, after three attempts, she said she gave up. You know, she's just like, you know, she's like, I want to quote you, but you need to call me back. So maybe she thought, well, what do I have to say? What do I have to add to the conversation? It's like, well, if a Crane's reporter is calling you, you've got plenty to
offer. Are those some of the emotions that are prevalent in the restaurant industry? I mean, do women have a harder time sort of breaking through because of not necessarily a gender bias necessarily, but the idea that they don't believe that they could be head chefs or they could be restaurant owners, that they can be master sommeliers?
I think that has something to do with it and part of it. I mean, I look at myself and, you know, I mean, I went for the exam, you know, I decided to go take it, but perhaps there was that, you know, I had that self-doubt, like any human has self-doubt of like, oh, okay. But I just see it with some of my employees sometimes of like, hey, you should do this. You know, because all it takes is that tap, you know, that tap of somebody believing in you. But I can't make you believe in yourself. You know, so if somebody's listening tonight and they're on the fence about, you know, a career change or something they want to do, or maybe they're thinking about a promotion and they're like waffling back and forth, you know, just go do it. You show up to bat, you know, you just swing. You know, what was that, Michael Jordan? You miss all the shots you don't take. you know?
You're right? A quote factory. I love it tonight. You're killing it. I love it. Alpana Singh in studio. Of course, her restaurant's The Boarding House, Seven Lions, Evanston's Terra and Vine. She is the honorary chair for the upcoming Opening Doors benefit. It's a fundraiser for Deborah's Place, Chicago's oldest provider of supportive housing for women experiencing homelessness. The event is May 11th. Where's it at?
It's at Venue One.
Venue One, of course.
It's going to be a great event. And actually, WGN's very own, I have it right down here. Sorry. Gaynor Hall Patterson of WGN. Yeah. She's going to be honored.
The TV side.
Yes, that's the TV side.
That's the primetime side. They always get the call, but that's great. Alpana, great to see you.
Thank you.
For coming in.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
And good luck with the event.
Thank you.